So again, you've got a man of God in front of you pleading with you to obey God. I should never even have to plead. Should never have to ask. We shouldn't even have to say these things. We should be able to talk about other things. But until our hearts are ready for the Lord, Jesus, through me, is going to continue begging you to obey Him so that you can be spared from the wrath to come. So I just encourage everyone to be here for prayer tomorrow. I'm telling you, these people are so precious to God. Jesus treats this as if it's a war. And He's the military commander, and He will... I'm telling you right now, He's after the lost. He doesn't want one... Jesus was crucified for these people. Let me just say this. If there's anything in you that when you're in this presence, you feel convicted and you feel like you're so close to Jesus, but when you go out there, something in you changes when you leave the door, that is called the flesh, and you need to deal with that. It's not okay. When you leave the room, you should have that same presence of God with you, at least to some good level, all the time. If He's not with you and you feel like you don't think about the loss and you're not concerned about all these people out there, you need to deal with your flesh, man. You are buried. Your spirit is buried under so much flesh. And the only way to really truly deal with it is fasting. You need to stop eating for a couple days. If you're buried under that much flesh where you don't have a compassion for the loss and it's not the first and most important thing in your life to get other people born again, you're barely saved yourself. It's not safe. It's not a safe place to walk. You know what Jesus said about the parable of the talents? He said He called His servants and gave to each of them a talent. He said to one He gave 5 talents. One He gave 3 talents and another He gave 1 talent. Talent representing an amount of money. Day's wages. He said He left for some time and then He came back and settled accounts with them. And He said the one who had the 5 talents came back and said, "Master, your talent has gained 5 more. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He said, "You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The other man who had the 2 talents also came and he brought 2 more. He said, "Master, the talents you gave me," he said, "you gained more talents with it. 3 more. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." He said, but the one who had the 1 talent took the talent and buried it. He wrapped it in a piece of cloth and buried it under the ground. He didn't do anything. He just kept hearing and hearing. He didn't do it. He said he came and he brought the talent to his master. Said, "See, master, here's what belongs to you. I knew you were a hard man, taking out what you did not put in and reaping what you did not sow." He said, I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, real nice, and here's what belongs to you." He said, "You knew, did you?" He said, "I'll judge you by your words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I take out what I didn't put in and reap what I didn't sow?" In other words, you knew that this was for the advancement of my kingdom and not for your kingdom. And it wasn't important to you? He said, "You knew that, did you?" He said, "I'll judge you by your own words, you wicked servant." He said, take that talent and give it to the one who had 10. And some of the others said, "Look, he's already got 10. He said, "I tell you the truth, he who has will be given more and he'll have an abundance. Him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "Take that worthless servant and throw him outside in the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Those are strong words from our Lord and Savior Jesus. And we need to take it to heart. We want to be doing something with the information He gave us. We don't want to question His word. We want to obey Him, right? Amen. We don't want to be putting things off. You've seen how He dealt with the churches in the book of Revelation right before the rapture. The lukewarm church, He said, "I'll vomit you out." He told them to repent. The couple of churches, He said, "I'll remove your lampstand from its place." We want to be ready, amen. I believe that the reason I have to instill so much of the fear of the Lord in some of the people who come here and those of you listening online is because you refuse to separate from the world. And I have to fight against it. Like Jesus said, "I'll come and fight against you with the words of my mouth." I have to fight against it and put just enough fear of the Lord in you to keep you saved, it's not right. It's not right. It's a waste of everybody's time. We should be able to move on. But we're not going to move on. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what He's telling me. We can move on as soon as we separate from the world. We can move on. It's a strong spirit. It's a strong spirit, but it can be broken if you're willing to submit your entire being to Jesus and resist the world. The secular movie, it's not okay to go to movie theater. There's no Christian movies playing up in there. It's all filth. It's not okay to watch that filth. Pastor so-and-so watch, I don't care what he does. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's not okay. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We're supposed to be God's holy people. It's a choice to pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Him. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whatever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Is it worth it? Is it watching television and that? Do you think that's worth? He said He commanded us to guard our hearts at all diligence. You think watching those seemingly innocent television shows that are full of subtle deception of the enemy, do you think that that's called purity and guarding your heart in the eyes of the Lord? It's not. Even the commercials are corrupt. They're full of folly, foolishness, and things that are making humans dumber and dumber every day. It's all part of Satan's well laid out plan to destroy the entire human race. That's what he's out to do. He's doing a fairly good job of it. But you can overcome him. It says the whole world's under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. Whole world. That's the majority. Jesus said narrow is the way that leads to life and only a few will find it. That means the majority are not going to find it. And it's not because it wasn't presented to them. It's because they don't care. They don't believe. They don't believe enough to begin to do what God commands on His Word. He said, come out from them and be separate. He said, I'm full of mercy and forgiveness. I'm a merciful God who's provided salvation. And my great love and mercy, I have provided it by sending my Son. I have lifted Him up that He might draw all men unto Himself. For all men will be taught by God, but they must listen and learn from Me. They must listen and they must learn from Me. They must open up their ears to hear. They must incline their ears and listen to My voice. They must open up their eyes and recognize that it's Me who's calling to them. For My mercy and My grace is great. I am a compassionate and loving God who sent the sacrifice for your sins. But you must receive Me, for I will receive you if you will humble yourselves and come out and be separate, says the Lord. I've provided a way out. I've provided a way out for those who are locked in eternal chains of darkness. But they must look towards the light. They must fix their eyes on My Son, who is able to perfect their faith, says the Lord. For I have provided the way of freedom, but it's up to you if you will walk with Me. It is a choice to walk in darkness. It is a choice to walk with the enemy. I've set before you this day life or death, blessings or cursings. Therefore, choose life so that you may be blessed and you may walk in the freedom and the liberty for which I've set you free, says the Lord. I'm just going to say this. God's looking for a relationship with you. But as long as we choose to walk with the world, there's no fellowship between us and God. He wants to be a father to you. But you got to come out. You got to separate from the world. And you got to stay separate from the world. You got to be very careful what you're letting into your eyes and your ears. Or it's going to cause you problems. And you may get away with it for a while, but if you keep it up, that thing, the problem with it is it may just sear your conscience to the point where you want to go back into the world. And when you do that, you may not want to come back to the church anymore. That's what it is. That's why we don't watch this stuff. It sears your conscience one step at a time. It's all part of the plan to walk you out of your salvation. That's why I'm so strong on it. I'm telling you, it's all part of His plan. Maybe, just maybe, I'm talking from experience. Maybe, just maybe, I've gone through some of these things myself and I can help you if you're willing to hear it. Be careful out there. This generation is so corrupt, it's difficult to be a holy living Christian in this generation. It is not easy anymore. There's too much information and there's too many influences surrounding you for the world. There's too many influences. So we got to be careful. Be careful with your associations, who you associate with and call a friend. People say Jesus is a friend of sinners. No, He was not. The scripture says right here, that's not what it means. It says wisdom was proved right by her children. In other words, no, He's not a friend of sinners. Jesus was with the sinners to get them born again, not to be friends with them. Psalm 1 and 1 commands against hanging around with them. 2 Corinthians 6:14 commands against it. What He's actually saying is wisdom's proved right by her children. In other words, Jesus was not friends with them. He was a doctor to the sick. A doctor to the sick. They were spiritually sick. He was their physician to heal them of their spiritual sickness. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 6:30. Be here for prayer. Please do yourselves a favor. If you have that kind of a strong attraction, throw your television away. Just destroy it. David Wilkinson, I believe he said that a whole group of one preacher preached it strong enough that the whole congregation got together and they brought hundreds of TVs together and they smashed all of them. In a bold statement to pick up their cross for Jesus, they did it. If you got that kind of attraction where you can't let that thing sit in the corner and only watch Christian movies or something, real Christian movies, get rid of the thing if it's got that kind of hold on you until you break free. Because that thing is a tool the devil's using one step at a time to try to take you to hell. It's not worth it. And if you don't think that that's true, he's already got a hold of you. Because you're not willing to hear him. We love you. That's why I'm telling you these things. I care about you. Okay? I want everybody to read. I want everybody to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then go read through the prophets. Go read through Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. Read 1 Corinthians 10 for the facts. You can see that those things were written out as warnings for us, for the church, it says in 1 Corinthians 10. The things that happened back there were written down as warnings for the church, he says. Warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Read 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through... Just read the whole chapter. It'll be good for you to read it. 1 through 24 you can read. And then read the book of Jeremiah in particular and read Ezekiel. Read the book of Ezekiel. And pay close attention to how God dealt with sin. Because it doesn't seem like that, but He's very patient. He's leaving the space for people to repent. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3. But there's coming a time, a specific time in God's time clock where He's got to pull the plug and that's it. The judgment's going to fall on them. He's been very merciful and very patient. Read through the book of Ezekiel. Just read through Ezekiel chapter 1 through 12 and read the whole entire book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah talks more along those lines. Ezekiel goes in a lot of description about the temples and stuff like that at the end. That's not relevant to what we're talking about right now. If you want to read the whole book, go ahead. But it's going to take you a while because it's 40 7, 48 chapters, something like that. Let's just take a step. I'm telling you, I don't want to have to beg you. I'm telling you, maybe, just maybe. Either you're going to have to accept the fact that I'm insane, there's something wrong with me, or maybe God showed me something. I'm telling you that Jesus is coming. He's ready. He's ready. I seen Him. I seen a vision when I was in prayer. It came back to me multiple times. I seen Jesus standing, and I was on another planet. I'd never been on this planet before. All I know is I was on another planet because I was looking down upon the earth. And there was destruction going on there. And my words to the Lord, I said, Lord, what are You doing? He said, I'm bringing all the words that I spoke through You to pass. That's what He said to me. All those prophecies, all the stuff I've been I'm telling you, God is going to, all that's going to come to pass, just like He said it is. Those are not my words. I was there. I want you to be there with me. Amen. Let's get out of here, because it was just destruction coming down on the earth. You could see it was destruction coming down. If you think it's going to be much longer, I'm telling you, look at the push they're putting towards Sodom and Gomorrah on this earth. I'm telling you, when it gets like that and they start stuff coming, judgment's going to start coming on this planet. They're trying to provoke God. God does not want anybody to go to hell. He does not hate anybody. He loves people enough that He sent His Son to die for them. He loves all those homosexuals that went to hell because some murderer went in there because He hated them and killed them. We don't hate people. We don't go around killing people. We love them enough to tell them the gospel so they can have a chance to turn from their sin and be saved. But that does not make the sin okay. We're supposed to hate the sin. He says to hate that which is evil. But we don't hate people. We don't hate people or provoke people. We don't do that. We love people.